The fourth pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. The third pick goes to the New York Knicks. The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. And that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants and Jets, Yankees and Mets, Knicks and Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
A-O-B! And please pardon my fresh as we bring you all new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, May 20th, 2019, and this show airs every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play, Pocket Cast, and Satellite Radio. So be sure to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss a damn thing. And me and the Mad Mike are also on social media, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter, LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button. And if you got any questions that you'd like for me and the Mad Mike to answer, you can always shoot them through email to Lloyd@partmyfresh.com. You can send them directly to the website. As always, listeners, a great show. I couldn't even wait to do this show as we're going to talk NBA draft. We finally know where the Knicks are picking. They're picking number 3. And Knicks fans, calm down. Slow your roll. It's not the end of the world. We're still sitting pretty. Me and Mad Mike will break that down. Mike Maccagnan, the man that I criticized not too long ago, has now been fired as a Jets GM. We're going to touch up on that as well. And we're going to tackle some other topics, listeners. So as always, let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we got to find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lloyd, I'm home for the week, man. I make 10 happily married years this week, coming Thursday, and I'm spending them all at home. I'm locked up in the back of the house right now.
Listen, man, congratulations. Happy anniversary to you and the missus. Much blessings and love to the both of you, man. But
appreciate it.
I love that. You know what I'm saying? But you know we gotta get to this draft thing, man, Mike. We gotta get to it. And the New York Knicks nab the number 3 overall pick in the 2019 NBA draft. And listeners, listen to me when I tell you to calm down, relax, and yes, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. It could have been worse. They could have picked 5th. They could have picked 4th. We all know that this is a 3-player draft. And after those 3 players, there's a bit of a drop-off, okay? And many Knicks fans, well, they woke up bummed out on Wednesday morning. Some in worse shape than others. But most New York Hoop fans will be nursing the fact that we didn't get Zion Williams. They're going to be nursing that. That was the whole thing. The media presented Zion Williams. Yeah, that was the whole talk of everything, man. Mac, anything that you've seen, it was the Knicks married to Zion Williams and Zion Williams married to the Knicks. However, take a chill pill. Take a chill pill, listeners. All right? New Yorkers, hopefully you guys and Knicks fans are starting to realize that Tuesday night's lottery drawing could have been far more devastating than it actually was, okay? In fact, the Knicks securing the number 3 overall pick amounts to a win for this franchise. And we all know we haven't had many wins, Mad Mike. The Knicks beat the odds. Listen to me, listeners. The Knicks beat the odds, as there was a 59.9% chance, I'll bump that up to 60, of them dropping the 4th or 5th overall, 60%, and only a 40% chance of them landing in the top 3. The other two teams, Cleveland and Phoenix, who had the same exact odds of winning the lottery, and you know, and inside the top 4, fell to 5 and 6, respectively. Okay? This is the first time the Knicks will have a top 3 pick since they selected Patrick Ewing in 1985. Do I need to say that one more time? The first time the Knicks will have a top 3 pick since 1985. And additionally, picking 3rd as opposed to 1st will allow the Knicks to enter free agency with an extra $1.6 million in cap space. Hey, listen, man, Mike, I gotta break it down. After watching the reaction of fans and bars, I was on a train with a fan that was beside himself. I'm like, come on, dude, really? And after I broke it down to him, he's like, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Now I get it. We won't be able to cheer for Zion Williamson inside in Madison Square Garden like we hoped. I was disappointed that we didn't get the number 1 pick, and all Knicks fans should be disappointed. But by
you know
Nabbin,
who else was disappointed?
Huh?
You know who else was disappointed?
Who's that, Mad Mike?
Zion. Zion.
Yeah.
He don't want to be there.
Yeah, he didn't want to be
there. You saw that.
You see his face? He didn't.
Yeah, he don't want to be there. And shame on the NBA. You know what, man? Go ahead. You know what? You finish, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to stop. Like, right. like listeners, if you got kids listening, cover their ears, because there might be some cuss words used today.
All right, but by nabbing the 3rd pick, Matt Mike, the Knicks are still in prime position to walk away from the 2019 draft with a bona fide stud. All right, now it's looking like R.J. Barrett is going to fall to the Knicks. Now, listeners, at one point, R.J. Barrett coming into this college basketball season was touted as the number 1 overall pick until Zion started jumping through the roof.
He was the number 1. He was the number 1 recruit in the nation in his class, a class that included Zion Williamson, just to show you how scouts looked at him. And he was number 1 on the big board in the preseason.
And not only that, man, Mike, every time I watch Duke play and I listen to the announcers, guess what I heard? I heard everybody say that R.J. Barrett is going to be an all-around better NBA player than Zion Williamson. Now, I'm not saying that, listeners, because we ended up with the 3rd pick and might end up with R.J. Barrett. That's facts. That's facts. How many times have me and you, Matt Mike, been on the show and said that Zion Williamson can't shoot? His jump shot is not broken like Ben Simmons, but he can't shoot.
Here's the thing, and here's why things get overshadowed. Before I let you finish, but the reason things get overshadowed is Zion Williamson just shattered the record for player efficiency for a college player. He just had the most efficient college season in the history of the NCAA since they started keeping this stat, and he did that as a freshman. But let's also not ignore the fact that R.J. Barrett just had one of the most historical seasons as well for a freshman, averaging 22, I believe, 6 and 6 or 8 and 6 as a freshman. He also just had one of the highest rated freshman seasons in history. So it just depends. I mean, like I said before, to me, this was always the Antoine Jameson, Vince Carter draft, where what do I want more? Do I want the human highlight, or do I want what is a more complete player, or can turn out to be the more complete player? I've been saying this.
Yeah. Listen, Beneath.
This is not me rationalizing the 3rd pick. I've been saying this.
Yeah. So, you know, you have Williamson, John Moran, R.J. Barrett. All right, we'll say those are the elite players coming up in this draft. And after those three, there's far less of a consensus amongst the pundits, all right, who will come off the board at four. Nearly all experts agree that there is a significant drop-off in talent after Williamson, Morant, and Barrett. Okay, with the Pelicans presumably scooping up Zion first overall, the Grizzlies will be on the clock at two. You know, they have a very interesting decision to make. The early buzz seems to indicate that they're leaning towards Ja Morant. Memphis has already had an excellent guard in Mike Conley Jr., who has 2 years left on his contract. Obviously, they will look to trade him. I don't know if anybody would be willing to take on that contract. However, the Grizzlies are clearly in rebuild mode as well. And they dealt away franchise cornerstone Marc Gasol back in February. They dangled Conley in trade packages. Conley be 32 years old before the start of the season. And he has just one season left on his contract. He owes a player option. And if Memphis is looking to secure their point guard in the future, it would make a lot of sense for them to draft Morant and have him spend a year serving as an apprentice to Conley. That's what makes perfect sense for the Grizzlies. And pairing Morant, you know, as a pick-and-roll partner with a promising big man like Jaren Jackson Jr., that might excite folks in Memphis, man, Mike.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to get my turn right now, man.
All right, let me just finish up now, Mike, and then I'll let you hammer away. Such a scenario allow Barrett to fall to three, okay? And make no mistake, Barrett is considered an elite NBA prospect. And at this time last year, he was a clear-cut number one, like me and Matt Mike was just telling you guys. All right, prospect in his class, well ahead of Williamson, heading into this season. He was more heralded, you know, as a Duke freshman. And this is coming from ESPN's Jay Bilas, Matt Mike. Am I saying his name right?
Bilas.
You know, look, he said Barrett is a player worthy of number one overall pick a year ago. And he was supposed to be the number one pick this season. But again, Williamson took that away. All right, it took him away. Listen, he was named MVP of the tournament after exploding for 38 points and 13 rebounds in a victory over Team USA. And some people say Cam Reddish might be on the hook. You know, might be better than R.J. Barrett. Look, Nick, stay away from Cam Reddish and draft R.J. Barrett, which we're going to do a mock draft a little bit later, Matt Mike. But also want to say the Knicks are still in position, man, Mike, to possibly trade for Anthony Davis, who said he doesn't want to be there. He said, it's not changing my mind. I still want out of here. And what a dream scenario might it be, man, Mike, for R.J. Barrett to play with Zion Williamson in New Orleans.
Yeah.
If the Knicks pick one, we would have been on the fence about trading Zion Williamson for Anthony Davis. If the Knicks pick two, we might have been on the fence for trading Ja Morant for Anthony Davis. At number three, not knocking R.J. Barrett, and I think R.J. Barrett is going to be a hell of a player. I think I'm a little bit more at ease with letting him go than the first two guys I named, man, Mike. But get in and say your piece before, you know, I start running my mouth again, because I could probably spend the whole first half of the show running my mouth. Go ahead and kick the knowledge, man, Mike, as we so speak.
First of all, let's stop calling it a draft lottery, and let's start calling it the NBA and Adam Silver dictating where stars are going to go to keep his small, precious small markets relevant. Because that's what this was, right? Think about this. The first time that they won the lottery and they ended up with Anthony Davis talking about the Pelicans, it's when Chris Paul wanted out of New Orleans because Chris Paul saw no future in New Orleans. And they were trying to sell the team. So what if Chris Paul, your superstar, is saying, you can't win here, it's not worth it staying here, what do you do? How do you sell the team that basically is not profitable, is not a long-term contender? You give them the first overall pick. So now what do they do? The year that Anthony Davis now wants out, remember, this team missed the playoffs by just a few games, maybe two or three games. You go from just missing the playoffs as what, the 12th or 13th worst team?
They had a 6% chance of getting a number one pick, man, Mike. 6%.
That's my point. So all of a sudden you winning, and now all of a sudden everyone's talking about how important it is how financially important a superstar is to the success and not even success on a court. I'm talking about the financial well-being, the success, the fiscal success of this team, this franchise depends on that. Okay, so let's give him the number one overall pick. We'll fix it, right? Anthony Davis just caused this whole big mess this season with Clutch Sports. Let's talk about it, right? Let's fix this. Give him the first pick. Well, the Memphis owner who spent money, who's given out a ton of bad contracts, didn't he speak up and say, well, one of the reasons that they've been reluctant to trade Mark and Mike Conley is because they need superstars. They need to be able to sell tickets. It's not like they're playing in a big market team where they can afford to rebuild without superstars. So they had, and this is why I said, this is the biggest team that pissed me off this draft, right? Lloyd, they had the number 9 pick, right? They had to move up one spot to the 8th pick in this process in order for Boston not to get their 2019 first round draft pick. You understand me? So they had to move up one spot to hold on to this year's pick. They moved up one spot, right? Because they picked ahead of 8, right? They didn't pick 9. They had to move into the top 4 to keep next year's lottery pick. If they didn't pick in the top 4 this year, next year Boston gets their lottery pick. So now all of a sudden, if they're a small market team and they're currently rebuilding, how can they lose picks? So what do? We protect them, right? So they move into the top 4. Okay, no problem. Boston now doesn't get next year's pick. They now get last year's number 4 pick. This year they got the number 2 pick. It's going to be John Morant and Jaren Jackson. And then next year they'll probably have another top 5 pick because they're that bad, right? NBA's fixed to me, right? But here's the other catch. So Boston, you're going to screw me over? So what does Boston get now? Since Boston doesn't get a 2019 pick and a 2020 pick, they get a 2021 fully unprotected pick. So Boston and all of this can get the number 1 overall pick in 2021. How about that? For a team that is loaded right now. This is the NBA keeping their flagship, one of their flagship franchises relevant, right? So I just told you how the number 1 and number 2 teams were small market teams that shot up the draft board conveniently, coincidentally, whatever, amazing odds, right? But then the Lakers, Lloyd, the Lakers, all of a sudden another flagship who's desperately trying to trade for a max player, a franchise player. Why? Because they know they can't convince 2 players to go. So now you have this flagship franchise that's a clown organization right now, couldn't find someone to be the president, couldn't find a coach, but let's give them the number 4 overall pick. Why? Because we got to be able to sell LeBron James down the stretch of his career. He can't go out like Kobe. We wasted Kobe's final seasons, and we can't do that with LeBron James. Give the Lakers the number 4 overall pick, even though I think they as well should have been picking something like 11 or 12. How does that happen? And then the Knicks fans, take the win, because in the end of the day, what the league said is, well, we're going to screw, we know what we're doing. We're screwing them out. So at least give them the 3rd pick. See what I'm saying? So now the Knicks end up with the 3rd pick, but, and like you said, well, they still can trade for Anthony Davis, right? But how slim did you just make their chances of trading for Anthony Davis when you give the Lakers the 4th pick? Isn't the Lakers their direct competition?
Yeah.
So now the Lakers aren't here saying, hey, well, here's the number 9 pick and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Now all of a sudden they're saying, well, do I like the Lakers' package of players better than I like the Knicks package of players?
No, they got a realistically, of players in Lakeland and we do in New York.
Yeah, and it's only 1 pick difference. The only thing is, if you're the Knicks, and I'm be honest with you, I've heard all the people say trade for Anthony Davis and keep trade RJ Barrett for Anthony Davis. I keep him. You know why I keep him, Lloyd? I give you 1 guess.
Well, I mean, I would say you keep him because he fits. If we get Kevin Durant and Kyrie, I would like to think he fits into that scheme a little bit more.
Yep. And how many years does Kevin Durant, what's the max amount of years Kevin Durant and Kyrie can sign for? 4 years?
4, yeah.
Right? So let me ask you a question. Do you think RJ Barrett gives you a bargaining chip if Zion Williamson doesn't want to accept that rookie extension and leave after 4 years
in
New Orleans?
Yeah. Listen, I can't see
that. The Knicks are going to be freeing up.
I've never seen somebody so disappointed.
No, me neither. But you see what I'm saying? Now, all of a sudden, you're freeing up all that money when Kyrie and KD are off. And now you have a huge bargaining chip with RJ Barrett saying, hey, Zion, come on. So what I'm trying to say is, hey, you didn't get there this year. But if you can get Kyrie and KD for the next 4 years, it'll soften that blow. And then when they're walking out the door at the end of their max deals, you can always then focus on Zion.
Yeah, and people were talking about, you know, this is good because it's going to prevent tanking. What? The Knicks were just a bad team. Did they tank at some point during the season? Yeah, they tanked at some point during the season. You want to know when I felt that this team started tanking, Matt Mike? When they sat down DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, but you know, Lloyd, it's what are they supposed to do? You know, we kill them and say, you couldn't even get an interview with KD. LeBron didn't even take you seriously. So isn't that proof that they can't get these guys to the table? Maybe now they can this year. But isn't that proof that maybe they are a bad team? If they can't get the superstars to even consider them, how are they supposed to become good? Through the draft. So I don't want to hear this tanking. They did what they're supposed to do. You tell me. If they can't, if KD wouldn't even give them an interview in the Hamptons, how the hell are they supposed to get a superstar in here?
Let me tell you, Matt Mike, I got into a big disagreement with a coworker in the office who claimed that the Knicks were tanking in the beginning of the season. And I said to him, how in the hell are the Knicks tanking when they picked up Enes Kanter? What did he make, $18 million, $20 million? Team is not going to tank picking up a $20 million contract. They had Tim Hardaway Jr. They had Trey Burke. Okay, they had a decent team. They were just a bad basketball team.
But once again, Lloyd, once again, they gave those contracts, right? Did they not give that contract to Tim Hardaway Jr.? Did they not acquire Enes Kanter and pick up his option? These are guys that they paid money to.
Right. Who they thought was going to get them at least to the play. The plan, we all know the plan was, Matt Mike, was for the Knicks to be productive enough to maybe possibly slip into the eighth spot of the playoffs and then make it presentable for somebody to come in and play with Kristaps Porzingis. Until he decided that he didn't want to be here no more.
That's the thing. That's when the plan changed. The plan didn't change until Kristaps basically put it out there. I'm not signing my extension. I'm going to play on the fifth year option, and I'm out of here. That's when the plan changed. Because you're right. It was all about we are going to pair him with another superstar. That was the plan. And if you think about it, why do I go and try to find a guard in Tim Hardaway Jr. if I'm targeting Kevin Durant and I got Kristaps and I got, I guess now I got Mitchell Robinson and you know, my front court is set. I got Kevin Knox. My front court is set. I don't understand what people were looking for. It just doesn't make any sense to me. They weren't tanking. They're a really bad basketball team. That's what they are. And that's why I hate the lottery. Because the lottery does not reward. How the hell do the Lakers with LeBron James move all the way up to the fourth pick? I mean, let's be serious.
They almost a playoff team, man. Like, they almost made the playoffs. New Orleans almost made the playoffs. And so did Memphis.
Let's talk about Memphis. They played, how much of this year did they play with Mike Conley and Marc Gasol? That's tanking. What they did was tank at the end. We didn't tank. We were bad basketball team. The Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls made that trade. We can say whatever we want. They had an opportunity when they traded, help me out here, Jimmy Butler a year ago, a year, two seasons back. They had the opportunity right then and there to reset, restart, get the draft picks, get everything they needed. They made a bad deal. You know what I mean? They made a bad deal. That's on them. The Phoenix Suns. What the hell? The Phoenix Suns have been bad for years. Why? This is the first time, and this is what I want to say. It's the first time the Knicks were outwardly bad, like where you didn't feel like they were trying. And that wasn't in the beginning. That was when they realized that, one, KP wasn't trying to come back, and two, KP wanted out. That's when the move started really, really flowing.
Yeah,
whatever.
I mean, yeah, you know, that it just drives me nuts. So if you want to complain about something, complain about the system. Complain about the draft lottery. Because you got these players. Not only that, Mad Mike, you got these players forming super teams. And that's beating the snot out of these other teams like the Knicks, you know, and Phoenix. So what are you supposed to do? Reward them. What are you supposed to do? What do you want? People to be stepping boards? Don't you want the NBA to be competitive? These are professional athletes. You think they like go? You think they like to go out on a night in, night out basis and lose basketball games?
Man, but Gloria, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not even a professional athlete no more, and I don't even like to lose games right now. I hate losing. No way in the world these dudes go out and plan on losing intentionally. And how many games did the Knicks end, Mad Mike, down the stretch that they ended up losing? Multiple times, the Knicks were in position to win games. We had those conversations. And because they were a young team, they ended up losing games that maybe if they were a little bit more, you know what I'm saying, if they had a little bit more experience, they might have won. So miss me with that tanking nonsense. This team did not tank. I literally spent 40 minutes going back and forth with this coworker, Matt Mike. He's swamping down at the Knicks tanked. Swamping down.
Yeah,
swamping. They were an awful basketball team. Awful. An awful basketball team that deserved to have the number one pick. The Bulls were an awful basketball team that deserved to have the number two pick. Or Phoenix, I'm sorry. Phoenix was a bad basketball team that deserved to have the number two pick. And then Cleveland was just as bad and they deserved to have number three. And Chicago deserved to have number four. Stop it!
You know, you know what kills me? Do you see tanking in the NFL? They don't have a draft lottery. Do you see tanking in the NFL? No. You know why? Teams are, they're just bad teams. But you don't see tanking because it's so easy to get hurt in the NFL. Players are not going to take it easy. A guy that goes out there and dogs it is likely to not only hurt his stock, his own stock, but you know, physically come to physical harm as well. I don't know, man. I'm just.
Now, by giving young players playing time and NBA experience is not tanking. They're in the NBA for a reason, which means they're the best of the best. It wasn't like, you know, the Knicks, the Phoenix Suns, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Chicago Bulls was putting the 15th man, 14th man, 13th man, 12th man, and 11th man on the damn court.
Exactly.
If they were doing that, then yes, that's tanking. That's tanking. But when you're giving playing time to Mitchell Robinson, so we become more acclimated to the NBA game, Kevin Knox, this is experience that they need. They need this experience. And look what happened, Matt Mike. Mitchell Robinson could be a hell of a basketball player. He's heading in that direction.
He was proof. Mitchell Robinson was proof of this season. He was proof of what happens when you invest time to develop younger players. He was exactly that, and he wasn't the only one. You want to talk about it. Yeah, Kadeem Allen was playing, but why was Kadeem Allen playing? Frank Ntilikina hurt his groin. Do you think that they benched Ntilikina for the sake of losing games? Yeah, they were god-awful defensively. Do you think that he could not have helped them and they wouldn't have liked that?
Because it wasn't own player.
But that's my point. You know what I mean? So it's not, you're 100% right. And I heard Jeff Van Gundy say that too. The Knicks are not tanking. There's a big difference in tanking. Yeah, they have a young roster that's still developing, and they spent the year trying to develop them. They spent the first half of the year trying to win. They were trying to win. They were playing the Lance Thomases. Once Cornelius was healthy, he was playing. You know, they were playing the Enes Kanters of the world.
Their best player was on the court.
That's what I'm saying. They tried. Trey Burke was playing. But at the same time, let me tell you something. It's not like, you know, Trey Burke didn't have a good year. Trey Burke was not scoring the same way he was scoring a year ago. It's not like he lost his job and deserved. And it's just like with Enes Kanter. You see how bad Enes Kanter looked this entire playoffs? The entire playoffs? He looks useless on defense.
If Nurkic
was healthy, Enes Kanter wouldn't be playing in the playoffs. That's a fact. That's not me hating on him because I didn't like the way he carried himself at the end of his time here in New York. I said it then and I said it now. He's one of the worst rated defensive players in the league. You're not going to stop the development of Mitchell Robinson for the sake of playing one of the worst defenders in the league. It's just not going to happen, man. Look, whatever. At the end of the day, you can't make everybody happy. And everyone just finished, you know, they were saying, if they don't get the number one overall pick, this was all for nothing. And that was never true. I'm just more mad that of all the teams and all the years, I mean, the Cavaliers have had three. Do you know David Griffin? This is his fourth time winning the lottery as a GM. So when you think of all these teams that have spent all this time tanking, like the one time we do it, we're penalized and everyone, come on, man, stop it.
And listen, like I said, we didn't tank. If you want to call Cindy Andre Jordan down for the last seven games of the season, you know, this is not tanking. It's not like DeAndre Jordan puts up 30 plus points a game or even 20 plus points a game. But there is a reason why the Knicks didn't cut DeAndre Jordan. You know, you're hoping that somehow, you know, that manages to get Kevin Durant closer to the blue and orange.
Yeah, plus he can still rebound and play defense.
Exactly. And if you put Kyrie and KD on the floor, man, Mike, you got to have role players around them. Got to. And DeAndre Jordan is a role player. He knows his role. Rebound, block shots, pick and roll, defend. Mitchell Robinson, role player. Rebound, blocks, pick and roll, defend. You know, I think RJ Barrett can be a player that's not a ball hog. Kevin Knox is not a ball hog player. Alonzo Trier might be a little bit of a ball hog. Might be. But who knows? You put some veterans around him, maybe they'll get him in, you know, maybe they'll put him on the right track. What veteran leadership did Lance Thomas? Lance Thomas, you know what I'm saying? He's not a scorer. He's a high character guy in the locker room. But he's not somebody that could be like, listen, young man, this is how we going to do it here. This is how you need to play the game of basketball. How the hell can he do that when he ain't even a scorer like that? Listen, Knick fans, we are sitting pretty. I still have faith in the Knicks front office more so than I ever had before. In the end, you know, hopefully everybody, all signs are pointing to Kyrie and KD coming here. If that's the truth, I don't know. It's a possibility. You know, it's still a possibility that might not happen. But when's the last time we've been, you know, had this type of positive news in Knicks land? Long, long time. And before we go to commercial break, man, Mike, there's reports that Carmelo Anthony may want to rejoin the Knicks. Do you stay away from Carmelo Anthony? Or do you think Carmelo Anthony can be that role player where he comes off the bench and kind of gets in where he fits in? Would you touch Carmelo Anthony?
No. I don't even think we need to have a conversation about this. No.
All right. Listen, listeners, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to do our very first mock draft, the first 10 picks. An NBA draft, and we want to talk some football. As Mad Mike's team, the New York Jets, have fired their GM, Mike Maccagnan. We'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson And Mad Mike Sports Talk Show listeners, the first half of the show, me and Mad Mike were discussing the Knicks picking three in this NBA draft. Hopefully giving you a little bit of insight as to why there was no need to panic and that the Knicks are still in a good position to make something positive happen for this organization moving forward. All right? But with that being said, Mad Mike, we're going to do our very first NBA mock draft now that we know where the first 10 teams are picking. And at some point, we'll do a bigger mock draft. But let's start off with the first 10 picks. A real short mock NBA mock draft, Mad Mike. So, as we all know, to our dismay, the New Orleans Pelicans are picking number one. And the overall consensus, and I think that, they're going to pick Zion Williamson forward from Duke. He's a 6'6 player, and Williamson is a very unique prospect. You know, and that he's a bit undersized, power forward, but crazy athletic, explosive, and a physical forward, despite him being a little bit on the short side. He separated himself as a clear-cut number one pick. So now, let the rumblings start about whether this will make Anthony Davis change his mind about wanting to leave New Orleans. Although I don't think that's going to happen. That's what New Orleans is hoping. But Anthony Davis, again, came out and said that he wants out of there, is not changing his mind. Zion Williamson, mind you, Mike, that he doesn't have any representation. I know his stepdad came out and said that he's not going back to Duke, but he can go back to Duke, and it has been done before, Mad Mike, where a player has asked to be traded because they didn't want to go to a team. So let's keep that in mind. That's a scenario that could happen, Mad Mike, but I do have the New Orleans Pelicans taking Zion Williamson overall number one, and I also want to add that their ticket sales shot up after they won the number one pick. That's going back to the notion that you made, Mad Mike, huh? Get it? Yeah.
Yeah, no. First picks. There's no. The one thing I will tell you is AD already said this doesn't change anything for them. They still want out, which will make you question if Zion Williamson will stay anyway, or he'll even consider staying. I mean, if Zion Williamson and having the first pick won't get AD to reconsider, then you really need to ask yourself, what are we doing having a team in New Orleans? One thing, though, Gail Benson, apparently Friday, sources said Gail Benson has basically told her front office under no circumstance are they to trade him to the L.A. Lakers. I saw Stephen A. Smith calling for an investigation. Listen, if saying that it's just not negotiating in good faith. If an owner doesn't want to, and here's what I'm going to say there, and I'm going to make it quick and we can move on. Why would an owner want to trade a generational talent like Anthony Davis in the conference? If you do want to make your team viable and a championship contender, why would you want to have to go through Anthony Davis in L.A. with LeBron James? Realistically, good business and negotiating good faith, a Western Conference team shouldn't even be trying to get him, right? They should automatically be sending him out east. Don't that happen in baseball all the time? Not going to trade you in division. Not going to trade you in conference. I'm going to send you out of here.
And it's the same Stephen A. Smith that was just ripping the New York Knicks for picking third?
Yeah, so...
And now he's saying he's going to report them for not negotiating in good faith. You idiot, you should be happy.
Correct, right? That's exactly what you want. You want him to go to end up with the Knicks. Anyway, we go on to number two.
All right, number two is the Memphis Grizzlies, Mad Mike. Who you got Memphis taking with the number two overall pick?
They're going to take Ja Morant. Even if they can't get rid of Mike Conley this year, Ja Morant will come in there, and he'll allow them to trade Mike Conley next year. It's just a matter of the rich getting richer. This is what the NBA did. This is why I was complaining. They were the team I was more mad about because now they're going to end up with this kid, and now Mike Conley becomes a huge trade asset. It's just a win-win for them, and that's exactly where they're going. And if they don't go that route, they're stupid.
And I do think that there's a slight chance that maybe they might pick R.J. Barrett, although I don't think so. But on my mock draft, I have them taking Ja Morant, point guard from Murray State, 6'3" sophomore. And let's face it, man, Mike, Morant took the college basketball world by storm due to his athleticism and tremendous ability to distribute the ball. This kid can see the court really well. And the Grizzlies had Mike Conley, a point guard, for the past decade. Plus, and it could actually use, a wing like R.J. Barrett. They can use a wing like R.J. Barrett, but it seems like Morant is a favorite to land at number two. So as much as I would like to see Morant drop the three, I do think he's not going to go past two. So I have Memphis taking Ja Morant with the number two pick. The number three pick, which is the New York Knicks, I got them taking R.J. Barrett. Should Ja Morant get picked second overall? I do think that R.J. Barrett is a complete all-around player. He's from Canada. I think that he's an elite athlete who has great handles, and I think he can score from all over the floor, which Zion Williamson can't do. And the Knicks have holes on the wing. Let's face it, they need a wing, so he actually fits in perfectly, and I think he can end up being the best player to come out of this draft, man, Mike. R.J. Barrett, number three to the New York Knicks.
I think it's going to be R.J. Barrett, and here's what I'll tell you. Think about this. Even if you don't get KD and Kyrie in this offseason, to be able to have the ability to pair R.J. Barrett, especially at shooting guard, if you can, and package him for the future, you know, not package, but pair him with Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, Dennis Smith Jr., and Frank Ntilikina, that's not a bad, you know, and I'm throwing Frank in there. Saying that he still has room to develop at 20 years old. He's the best defender on the team. Even if he can't score, New Yorkers, get out of your mind that this guy needs to be to score to be good. He can play defense with the best of them. And last time I checked, defense still wins in the NBA. So I'm just saying that because I think that they still have a nice, solid core. I didn't even put Trier in there.
Right. Let's also throw out the fact that R.J. Barrett is not a bad defensive player either.
No, you know? I mean, listen, he's first 18-year-old to average 22.7 rebounds and 4 assists. First 18-year-old to have that number, those numbers, ever in college. Think about that. We're not talking about he came in and did his job. And think about how good those numbers could have been if he's not sharing the ball in the spotlight with Cam Reddish and Zion. And not only that, but Cam Reddish's shooting numbers were down too. Their point guard couldn't shoot, you know, to save his life. And Zion, as we spoke, his game is too unrefined from the perimeter. So, you know, not for nothing. If you want to look at the fact that his dribble drive, his penetrations were collapsed on. Think about how much better he can fit in the pros with better talent shooters around him. I think he's going to be a legitimate stud in the NBA. And you can say whatever you guys want about me. You've heard me say it numerous times on this show alone. R.J. Barrett. He can be better than Zion Williamson. So it's not me saying, oh, the Knicks got three, R.J. Barrett's better. He's always had the ability that he can end up being the best player in this
draft.
He
can create his own shot, man. Mike, Zion Williamson can't create his own shot. He just bossy bullies his way to the basket.
I'm trying not to kill Zion because, you know, we'd be sitting here praising and happy if they had one and they were against Zion.
I think he can work on his jump shot. If he can develop a consistent 15-foot jump shot, man, Mike, he's going to be a monster in this league.
But if he can develop
that 15-foot jump shot, whoo! Absolutely
right.
Crazy. Just want to throw out, man, Mike, that there's reports that the Knicks are shopping Frank Ntilikina for a late first round pick or a second round pick.
Oh, and you want to laugh? I was going to tell you that I think Frank, talking about in division trades, I think Frank would be a perfect candidate to make a trade with the Boston Celtics, who have three picks in this draft, and a pretty late one at 22. I do think you can see that. Boston, Frank Ntilikina just looks like a guy like Brad Stevens likes, you know what I mean? With the defensive. Brad Stevens is not afraid to develop. He's not afraid to take unfinished guys. I can just see it happening, yo.
Well, also there's reports that New Orleans have no interest in Frank Ntilikina, so we'll see.
Well, yeah, you know what? When someone says they have no interest, normally they have some kind of interest.
And mind
you,
the Knicks don't have their second round pick because Phil Jackson traded away. I forgot who the hell the player was.
It's all right.
So
not even worried about that. I think Brooklyn has our pick, but not even worried.
So number four is the Los Angeles Lakers. I have the Lakers taking Jarrett Culver, Matt Mike, shooting guard from Texas Tech, a 6'5 sophomore. And there's a clear-cut top three in the 2019 NBA draft. As we stated a couple times during this show, but a number of guys who, you know, who are being considered at this point. Culver has great size for the next level, but is not yet great at taking opponents off the bounce in ISO situations. But, you know, I have them taking him with the number four pick. I was going to go with DeAndre Hunter, but I had them taking Jarrett Culver at number four, the L.A. Lakers, man, Mike.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Lakers have really struggled at the two-guard spot for the last couple of years, and you can see it a lot more with LeBron James because he relies on those shooters on the perimeter. Culver was one of the breakout stars of the tournament. I mean, we're not going to argue. We're not going to argue that. I think we did see DeAndre Hunter shut him down, but he was probably the most outstanding player in the entire tournament. So he just seems like a perfect fit for what they're trying to do. And if you are going to use him as a trade chip, the four as a trade chip, the Pelicans could use. They did trade Buddy Hill,
who's actually a good player, man.
Yeah. For two, and you know. So it's not like they don't have a hole at the two guard, but the question is, would they move Drew Holiday back to the one? Anyway, I think that, it works out perfectly for them with Culver.
All right, so moving to number five, which belongs to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Who do you have the Cavaliers taking at five, Matt Mike?
Well, Cleveland Cavaliers just had, the second worst defensive season in the history of the NBA. So I have them taking DeAndre Hunter simply because while he still needs a little bit more work on the offensive side of the ball, this is the highest rated defensive player to come out of the draft since Kawhi Leonard. And you can't go wrong if you're the worst defensive team in the NBA.
All right, so I have them also taking DeAndre Hunter, a small forward from Virginia, 6'7", sophomore. I think that DeAndre Hunter is an athletic, lengthy wingman, Mike. He emerged into a much larger role for the Cavaliers this season, and really helped them, Virginia I'm talking about, the Virginia Cavaliers, and really helped them, helped his draft stock, you know, in the final four. So the NBA Cavaliers need to, you know, they need help on the wing, like you said, and Hunter's the best option, in my opinion. All right, so moving on to number six, which leads to the Phoenix Suns. Who do you have the Phoenix Suns taking with the number six pick, Mad Mike?
This is also, for me, just another fit. Maybe you disagree with the player talent, but I have them taking Darius Garland. They've been looking for a point guard, and with John Morant off the board, they were hoping to get John Morant in the top two this year. And with him off the board, you settle for the next best thing, and that's Darius Garland. He's a project, but at the same time, he is the best. He's what they need, right? Devin Booker's not a point guard. You got to get the ball out of Devin Booker's hands if you want him to be able to score more efficiently. Darius Garland.
All right, I have them taking Kobe White, point guard from North Carolina, 6'3" freshman. And I think that White is, you know, he had the engine running with North Carolina this past season and could hold his own as a scorer and distributor. Look, the Suns have a monster void at point guard. And White's playmaking ability will fit them perfectly, in my opinion, with the core Phoenix already has in place. And remember, I was saying that this was the one team, Matt Mike, that if they was to get the number one overall pick and the Knicks had the number two pick, that they would take Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. So just, you know, if they fell to six, I still have them taking a point guard, but I have them taking Kobe White, point guard from North Carolina. All right, so now moving on to number seven, which belongs to the Chicago Bulls. I have the Chicago Bulls taking Darius Garland, point guard from Vanderbilt, who's a 6'2 freshman. I think that Garland's freshman season was cut short. Was cut short due to a season-ending injury, but he's a true creator and distributor with great floor vision, Mad Mike, and I think he can also get buckets when needed. He will be a better long-term floor general than Chris Dunn and another nice young piece for the Bulls as in their rebuilding phase. So I had them taking Darius Garland, point guard from Virginia, man, Mike.
Yeah, I have them going Kobe White. Once again, I just think it's a fit thing. I think that the Bulls have a lot more athletes than they do players right now. And I think Kobe White's up-tempo, high-tempo style would fit those guys. Can you imagine watching, you know, their young high-risers playing on a fast break all night long? I mean, we're talking about a guy who can probably, you know, this team can potentially average, you know, 15, 20 points a game in transition. And I'm talking about just easy fast break layups, you know, when we're talking about, you know, how many fast break layups did they get, you know, 8 or 9, 10 in the course of the game? That can change a lot of these losses into wins. I think Kobe White's the perfect guard for them.
All right, so moving on to number 8, which belongs to Atlanta Hawks. Who do you have the Atlanta Hawks taking with the 8th overall pick, man, Mike?
I think this is another pure win for them. I think Cam Reddish, who was projected to go top 5, top 4 in this draft, is actually his poor tournament hurts him. I think he's going to be a better pro. He's another look. I think RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish are going to be better pros once they move away from Zion. I think the floor spacing will be better. I think their games translate better to the pros. It's a matter of can he just work on his jump shot and become more efficient. I think he's absolute steal for Atlanta at 8. Absolute steal.
And I have the Hawks also taking Cam Reddish, small forward, from Duke. He's a 6'7" freshman. And like Matt Mike said, Reddish was overshadowed by fellow freshman Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett this season at Duke. I think that he has great size and an effortless outside stroke. Reddish would give the Hawks, you know, a needed shot in the arm on the perimeter, Matt Mike. And, you know, Trae Young actually had a pretty good season. He's in running for Rookie of the Year. And, you know, that's not bad to pan him up with Trae Young, Matt Mike. So I have the Hawks also taking Cam Reddish with the number 8 overall pick. All right, moving on to 9, which belongs to the Washington. They changed the name back to the. Oh, I'm sorry, to the Wizards. I'm sorry. I have them taking Jason Hayes, Matt Mike, a center from Texas. He's a 6'11" freshman, and the Wizards could really use an upgrade in talent inside, in my opinion. And although this is a weaker draft at the top for bigs, I also think that Hayes is the best long-term prospect. I believe that he has upside in the name of his game for Hayes, who really saw his stock rise during his freshman campaign in Austin, Texas. He has the makings of being a difference maker inside, but will likely need some time to develop his skill level and his physicality. I have them taking Jason Hayes, center from Texas, man. Mike, who do you have the Wizards taking?
I have them taking Nasir Little. He's a wing out of North Carolina. I think that if you look at what they've lost over the last couple of years and with the Wizards, I think, you know, they've lost Trevor Ariza, they've lost Kelly Oubre, they've lost Otto Porter Jr. I think he'd be the perfect fit, you know, to bring back into that fold. You know, we don't know when John Wall is going to get healthy, and we don't know what their decision to do, you know, what's their decision with Bradley Beal. At the end of the day, if you're gonna, you know, keep building around those guys, I like the decision to go with Nasir Little and replace that wing.
All right, so now the Atlanta Hawks are picking 10. The Hawks have 2 first-round picks in the top 10, in the top 10 draft this year. Who do you have the Hawks taking with the number 10 overall pick, man, Mike?
I have them taking Jackson Hayes, who I believe you just had go at 9. He can play defense, man. He's definitely a very, very good defender around the rim. He's you know, low maintenance on offense. He's still developing his game. So you have the potential, you know, to develop him the way you want him to be. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to be a stretch center, but he can help at both ends right now. And, you know, I believe they have John Collins at power forward, and when you add throw in Cam Reddish and Trae Young, they have a very, 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 very good complement of players in their starting five.
I just want to add that the Atlanta Hawks got this pick from the Dallas Mavericks.
So yes, and the Luka trade.
Yes, I have them taking Rui Hachimura, Matt Mike, forward from Gonzaga, a 6'8" junior. Hachimura was born in Japan. Hachimura, in my opinion, is a versatile forward, you know, who's at his best when attacking the rim. So he is also respectable. He's a decent outside shooter. He and John Collins will be a promising young front court for the Knicks, Mad Mike. So I have them taking Roy Hachimura forward from Gonzaga, Mad Mike.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
All right, so listeners, there you have it. This is me and Mad Mike's first overall mock draft. We have a few more coming. Obviously, there's a lot more teams, and at some point, we'll get to those teams. But, Mad Mike, before we close out this great show, Mad Mike, you know we have to touch up on, and I wanted to get your opinion on this and get your thoughts on it. Your team, the New York Jets, fired general manager Mike Maccagnan, and they named Adam Gase the interim GM. And the Jets announced this past Wednesday that they fired general manager Mike Maccagnan and named Adam Gase as the interim. Adam Schefter of ESPN reported the vice president player personnel, Brian Heimendinger, also was let go, Mad Mike. So Maccagnan was hired by the Jets in 2015, all right? Coming to New York after serving as the Texans' director of scouting during his first four seasons with the team, the Jets went 24-40, all right? Failing to get more than 5 wins after his first season at the helm, and the squad went 10-6 and just missed the playoffs. So this offseason, the team made a splash by signing running back Le'Veon Bell to bolster the offense, and some needed security for second-year quarterback Sam Darnold, who the team drafted with the number three pick in last year's draft. And multiple reporters have cited Mad Mike, and I want to get your thoughts on this, disagreements between Maccagnan and Gase when it comes to signing Le'Veon Bell specifically for 4 years and $52.5 million. All right, Bell tweeted a response to the report Wednesday night stating that even if reports are true, that won't stop me from doing what I came here to do. Okay? Now, in April, the Jets selected Alabama defensive lineman Quinnen Williams, who I love, with the number 3rd overall pick, and Gase was hired in January to replace Todd Bowles, who was hired by the Jets in 2015, shortly after Maccagnan took over and fired following a 4-12 season in 2018, Mad Mike. So I just want to get your thoughts on if you feel that the reason why Maccagnan got let go, because you know I criticized Mike Maccagnan. I think it was on last week's show, the show before that. You know, for his draft, for the Jets draft process. But at the same time, he has signed some good free agents, Mad Mike. Do you think that Adam Gase is literally on a power trip mode? And he's the reason why Mike Maccagnan was let go? I really want to get your thoughts on this, Mad Mike, and how you feel about this.
First off, I'm going to say, as a Jets fan, you have a lot of different feelings about it. You have some Jet fans that let the media dictate to them, let ESPN and the fan and all these, you know, old psycho Joe Beningo types tell you how you're supposed to feel. I'll be very honest with you. Extremely, extremely worried when I first heard the news, especially when they said Adam Gase would be the interim GM. Obviously, that's because he had control of the 53-man roster in Miami, so they feel like, hey, he can at least make these moves. Very worried because that control went to his head. You know, the power, absolute power, absolutely corrupts, you know what I mean? And you saw that in Miami. That's why he wasn't in Miami anymore. He has so much power that he felt like he can argue with the owner. And it was kind of like, wait, guy, you're a head coach. You're a football guy.
And, Matt, Mike, real quick, so, I hate to cut you off, but what the hell did he do in Miami?
No, well, nothing. And that's the problem, right? So we can sit here, me and you can sit here, and we can have the conversation about how Devontae Parker's agent called him a liar and said that they were considering filing grievance because he went, he publicly said his player didn't play because he's not healthy and he's injured. And the agent said, well, you can't do that. My player is not injured. My player is healthy. And if you're not going to play him, cut him, release him. But don't tell, you know, don't make stories up because you're just hurting his career. Those are the kind of things, the power trips that worry me with him. The fact that, you know, he kind of kicked Jay Ajayi to the side in favor of Kenyon Drake And then a year later, kicks Kenyon Drake to the side. Why? Because the kids eat my the kid's ego is becoming a problem. It's not necessarily an ego, you know. In this game, you want guys to be confident. You want guys to know that they're the man, and you want them to carry themselves like they're the man, because then you see the results. That's what kind of business this is. He doesn't like that. And what he do? He treated Kenyon Drake like a has been this year, and also ran and ruined that relationship where Kenyon Drake said that he would not play again another year for Adam Gase. He's on record of saying him and the GM for Miami didn't get along until year three, Chris Greer, to the point where Chris Greer, you know, said that's true. They didn't have a very good working relationship. So that's what scared me about this, that what's stopping this man from being the same that he was? Like, he's a head coach, and now you're giving him this power that he's already shown you that he can't handle. He doesn't handle well. You know, here's the thing. When you think that you're the smartest man in the room at all times, when you think that you're the you know, end all be all, and everyone, you know, when you think you're the dictator in the room, then you lose the locker room. This is still a sport where the players win. Players play and players win. You know what I mean? So that's on that aspect of it, right? So now, like you brought up to me, the Le'Veon Bell. He better use Le'Veon Bell, because you better believe that those players in that locker room, if you don't recall, was it not Jamal Adams sitting with his agent, you know, trying to convince them to come to the Jets at the Pro Bowl? Was that not Jamal Adams? So now you're going to go in there. How are you going to discuss that with Jamal Adams? When you give him 12 touches, how are you going to explain that to Jamal Adams? You're not. That's not a conversation you're willing to have. Kalisha Osemele came out here and was like, man, am I happy to finally have that guy. You know, when I was on Baltimore, that's the one guy we always had to worry about. It feels great to be on the same side of him, you know, same side of the ball with him now. Like, how do you go tell Kalisha Osemele that he only got 12 touches? That's a fight that Adam Gase is going to lose. Now I'm going to move over to Mike Maccagney, because I hear a lot of people say, how can you let him spend the money? How can you let him oversee the draft? Well, here's how, Lloyd. You hear a lot of GMs. Once upon a time, Kansas City let John Dorsey, you know, the current Cleveland Browns GM, run their draft and run their free agency, and then they fired him right after the draft and free agency were over. Literally, just fired him 2 days after. So it's been done before. The thing is, he did all the work. Mike Maccagney and his scouts, they did all the work. They built the plan, the formula. Just because they lost faith in Mike Maccagney, they could have lost faith in Mike Maccagney for numerous reasons. Fact of the matter is, they believed in his plan. Otherwise, they would have fired him with Todd Bowles. That's on record. Now, the one thing that I will say, I don't know if you saw this report on Friday, but and they said that this is how Mike Maccagney has run his draft since day one. And it can kind of show you why the coaching staff and the drafted players don't work out well. He does not consult the coaching staff. He does not allow his coaches. He does not allow his scouts to discuss players with the coaches. He doesn't care how you believe they will or will not fit. He doesn't want you creating a bias as a coach, creating a bias in his scout's head. He doesn't. If his scouts like somebody, he doesn't want his scouts to think twice about somebody because the coaches don't like them. He wants his scouts to follow their heart, you know, follow their eyes, and they're supposed to be the experts in this. Here's what I'll ask you, Lloyd. If you're, as a GM and as a scout, if you're not conversing, if you're not getting evaluations from your coaching staff on players you're looking at, how the hell do you know how these guys will fit in on the team?
Yeah, and that was part of the thing. They were saying that Maccagney didn't include Gase in the process.
No, and if you don't think for 1 second that Chris Johnson didn't see that, then you have you're blind. Chris Johnson saw that. Chris Johnson knew. You can't have that. Now, lastly, the reports about the trades, how Mike Maccagney was reluctant to make trades, to approve trades. He had to go over trades, you know, time and time and time again before making a move. And teams in the draft. Remember, I told you I don't understand why the Jets are so bad on day one and two of the draft. That's why. The draft, you only have 10 minutes. You have guys constantly on the phone making calls. If I can't do this with the Jets, I gotta see what Oakland's doing. If I can't do this with Oakland, I need to see what this team is doing. You don't have time to BS. And they said that he had to. He never even gave final say. Mike Heimerdinger always gave final say. You're the GM. Why are you deferring to anybody? on your decisions, especially at the draft. So, you know what? In that case, I was just like, yeah, he had to go. And reports are that they reached out. They're reaching out to Peyton Manning to higher up executive level. It's probably not going to be GM as a first-time guy. It's probably going to be like a VP of football operations. If Peyton's ready to get back in it, I'm sure, you know, he'll be able to work with Adam Gase. They know each other well. That should be fun. And reports as early as yesterday morning where Brian Baldinger was saying he was saying that the Jets are close to having their guy, and he's the right guy for the job. And, man, I'll be honest with you, if it's Joe Douglas, Joe Douglas is the architect of the Eagle Super Bowl team. I know that Howie Roseman gets all the credit in the world for them, but if it's Joe Douglas and he's bringing Daniel Jeremiah with him from the Ravens, you know, currently of the NFL Network, to be his VP of scouting and pro personnel, those three would be a rock star front office. And I know that it sounds like a long shot, but based on all the reports, it's really not that much of a long shot.
All right, so there you have it, listeners. So before we close out the show, you know it's that time of the show where we got to let Mad Mike give his rant of the week. So, Mad Mike, the floor is yours. What is Mad Mike's rant for the week?
I don't know if I did this one last week. I hope I didn't, because after this week, again, with the Yankees having to use an opener on Sunday because they don't have the starting pitching, the fact that Gio Gonzalez was a Yankee in our minor league system and Brian Cashman refused to promote him, Brian Cashman has got to be the biggest jerk in New York right now. And I don't care how good they are. I don't care if you want to tell me the first place Yankees with all their injuries. When you have to burn a bullpen and Chad Green, who is having one of a disastrous season, has to open the game. Don't tell me just because they won the game yesterday doesn't mean that the plan worked. They gave up 5 runs in 5 innings using an opener, using, you know, going with a full bullpen game. Far from ideal. Brian Cashman, you're a donkey, you're an ass, whatever you want to call it. You had Gio Gonzalez and his sub-2 ERA in the building and somehow decided that Loaisiga, who, by the way, is now injured for the next 6 weeks, was a better option than a veteran like Gio Gonzalez.
Yeah, you know, I heard Michael Kay make a comment about, you know, it not making sense why the Yankees will let Gio Gonzalez go, is he's actually doing pretty well in Milwaukee.
Pretty well. He's got one of the best ERAs in the league. He's one of the best. It was, you know what, man? I don't know if it was financially driven. I don't think if he just thought way too highly. But listen, you can't do that, man. You can't. You can't have a true pro like Gio Gonzalez and not go to him. You can't.
Listen, you know, thank God Domingo Germán is pitching as well as he is.
Yeah, but he's on an innings limit, Lloyd. No one's talking about that. Domingo Germán is on an innings limit.
That's true.
They've already said that. Yeah. He's not going to give you 200 innings. And the harder you ride him now, the more likely it is you're not going to have him later. These are facts. This is not me spewing, and this is not me trying to scare Yankee fans. He's on an innings limit. Facts.
Yeah. You know, I'm hearing Dallas Keuchel's name a lot. You know, to me, you know.
Yeah, but even then, Lloyd, if they sign Dallas Keuchel, what are we, 2 weeks away from June? Even if you sign Dallas Keuchel now, what's it going to take him, 6 weeks to get ready? He'll be ready July 1st?
Yeah, Mike, I see J.A. Happ all over again, man, Mike. I do. I see J.A. Happ all over again. And we all know how that project is turning out because, I mean, not for nothing. I was expecting so much more from J.A. Happ than I'm getting. You called it. You called a spade. But I have faith in J.A. Happ, and boy, is he having an awful season. Awful season. Awful.
Just saying.
But listen, we have Memorial Day weekend coming up. So with that being said, we will not be doing a show the Monday after Memorial Day. All right? We're good. So we want the next show will be 2 weeks from today. All right, so we want to thank you guys for sticking with us, listening to us, supporting us. We want to thank our producer, Ayo Omar Baker, for rocking out with us and keeping this thing going. And I got to give a shout-out to my man, my right-hand man, Mad Mike, for taking time out of his schedule and traveling all over the United States. You know what I'm saying? Keeping things gravy for the show. So listeners, please have a safe, blessed week. Have a safe and blessed holiday. And me and the Mad Mike, I'll see you in 2 weeks where we'll have so much more sports to talk about. All the glorious sports. All the glorious sports. So guys, be blessed. Hey, yo! Let's roll, baby!
Listen, I agree 100% that the Knicks being able to draft number 3, which, by the way, is the best they've been able to do since Patrick Ewing was drafted, just like Lloyd Mad Mike talked about earlier. It's a good thing. I had to talk a couple of Knicks fans off of the bridge, off of the ledge, the day after the draft. I don't understand why, but it's all good on this side. Hopefully, if we can get RJ Barrett, you fit him in with the system, bring some free agents in. Listen, the Knicks are in the best shape they've been able to be in and find themselves in quite some time, in years. And I'm happy about that. Listen, like Lloyd said, a brand new episode will come your way in 2 weeks. So make sure you subscribe. You don't want to miss that show when it drops. And follow on Instagram and on Twitter at Lloyd A. Thompson. Make sure you throw 2 L's in. That's LLOYD. At Lloyd A. Thompson on Instagram, on Twitter. Hit LloydAThompson.com with your questions. We'll catch y'all in 2 weeks, 14 days, with a brand new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show. Peace.